Thanks. Well, it's very good to be here, boys and girls, mums and dads. Good to see a full building again on a beautiful Sunday morning. If you've got your Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 7, please. Luke chapter 7. Hey, are we having lunch after this here? So I better not go too long. All right. Luke chapter 7. And let's read this story, and then I'll make a few comments, and then we'll be finished. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he, that's Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he, that's Jesus, came and touched the bier, or the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumour of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on how to wreck a funeral. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, for the wonderful year the church here has had it with One Way Club. But, Lord, right at this very moment, we really would appreciate your blessing on the message this morning. We pray for the Spirit of God to work in hearts and from the speaker right through to everyone this morning, Lord. Show us something from your word that will be a blessing to us, and we pray that you will be glorified in answering this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, here's this story from Luke chapter 7. Three main characters in this story. There was, of course, Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He was the main character here. And then there was the a woman and her son. Three main characters. Now, first of all, Jesus was coming into this place called Nain. Now, Nain, the Bible says it was a city. Now, a city in Bible times wasn't necessarily a city like Melbourne or Sydney. It wasn't that big. A city just meant it was a town with a wall around about it. That constituted a city. So here was this, we must probably say a fairly small town, but they called it a city because of the wall, and Jesus was going into the city. He was walking towards the city, and the Bible says he had quite a lot of disciples with him, and there were a lot of other people following Jesus because he had quite a following with all the miracles he was doing at that time. And so they were going into the city. Now, at that very same time, there was a whole big group of people coming out of the city. And it was a funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain. Now, of course, funerals in Western countries like Australia, they're fairly subdued affairs. I'm sure you've had lots of funerals here in this church, and we've all been to funerals, and they're usually pretty subdued, pretty quiet times. But, of course, in Eastern times, and back in Bible times, funerals weren't, and even in a lot of places in the world today, funerals are not quiet affairs. They're very noisy affairs. And there are certain cultures around the world, even today, that have a lot of wailing and weeping and crying. And that's most probably what was taking place with this funeral. It wouldn't have been hard to figure out what was going on. There was this procession and there was this funeral. And so this is what Jesus came upon. Now, the second person in this story was this lady, and she was a widow. What's a widow? Widow is someone who's lost their husband. And, of course, in Bible times, that was a really serious thing because your husband was the, as we would say, the breadwinner. He was the one that provided for the family. And if the husband died, it was really, really tough being a widow. I know when I was a little boy, three-year-old, I was only 3 years old, and my brother Lyndon was one, and our dad died. And so my mother spent a lot of her life as a widow. And the widow's pension back in 1965, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was something at least. But back in those days, I don't think there was any pension. You were stuck on your own. Thankfully for this lady, she had a son, and up to this day, the son, he was an adult son. The Bible said he was a man. But then tragedy struck upon tragedy. This man died. Her son died. So double tragedy. Terrible, terrible thing to happen to a widow woman. Now, of course, I imagine, like so many towns today, everyone knew everyone. And so I'd say just about the whole town of Nain, of the city of Nain, they were all there at this funeral to come and pay their respects to this young man who had died. I want you to notice something here in verse number 13. We read, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Now, how do you think this woman was feeling? We've blown this up a little bit. Yeah. I don't think she was feeling real good. She would have been devastated, firstly by the loss of her husband, then by the loss of her son. Well, Jesus, the Bible said, had compassion on this lady. You know, Jesus was very good at that. He's a compassionate Saviour. And, you know, so often today, we come across people that are in desperate need. And you know what? Oftentimes we look at someone in need. It might be someone, a street person out on the street. Or it might be someone that's sick. Or it might be someone that's upset. You ever come across people like that? Sometimes you do. And unfortunately, so often what we do is we ignore them. Or we condemn them. You know, what we sometimes we think serves them right. Serves them right. Or we ignore them, which is most probably the worst thing you could do. Or we look down upon them. And sometimes we even laugh at people in their misfortunes. And that's not good. But Jesus did none of those things. Jesus had compassion on this lady. His heart went out to this lady. He was compassionate. And if you want to take something away, Christian, if you want to take something away from this story, be compassionate upon people. It doesn't matter whether something happened to someone that wasn't their fault or was their fault. Bad things happen to people. As Christians, we need to be compassionate. Compassionate. Well, Jesus was compassionate because Jesus is God. Lamentations 3, it says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. So I'm really glad that we have a compassionate God that proves his love and proves his compassion every single day. Every single day, God is compassionate toward us because without his compassions, we would not stand, we would not live. But Jesus was compassionate. His heart went out to this lady. Now, Jesus did, then he did three things that were very, very unusual. Very unusual. This is the first thing he did. And we read this. The first thing was this. He went to this lady and he said two words. He said, weep not. Weep not. Now, in the vernacular today, and this is how we would say it today, we would say, don't cry. Don't cry. Now, do you find that a bit strange? I do, because normally if you're at a funeral, what do people do at funerals? They weep, don't they? They weep. Not everyone does, but some people. And that's most probably a good thing. Because sometimes you need to have a good cry. You're venting your emotions. And oftentimes you do shed a tear at a funeral because funerals are sad things. So this lady was obviously crying. But Jesus went up to her and said, don't cry. And so I wonder what she was thinking when this man comes up and says, don't cry. What am I supposed to do? It's a funeral. My son's just died. Of course I'm going to cry. That was the first unusual thing that Jesus did. Here's the second thing that was unusual that he did. He went up and the word bier or bier there means the coffin. This fellow was in a coffin. I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was a coffin. And Jesus went up and he touched the coffin. He touched it. And again, I could just imagine those, especially those that were carrying this dead body of this man, thinking, what's this fellow doing? He's put his hands on the coffin. What's going on here? And you know, when you start to read through the New Testament, you see that Jesus touched a lot of things and a lot of people. Literally. Let me read a verse to you here. Don't turn this up for time's sake. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. He healed them. You know what Jesus used to do all the time? He would touch people. The Bible says one day he went and touched the eyes of a blind man. And he would go up to lepers. Now, you know what a leper was? If you had leprosy in Bible times, whoa! You didn't go near a leper because you didn't want to catch the disease. Jesus went up and he touched the lepers. And he touched this person, he touched that person, he touched that person. Jesus put his compassion into action and he went and he touched these people. He went up and he touched the coffin. And again, I can just imagine these locals thinking, what strange custom is this? And then this is the third thing, and I'm nearly finished this morning, but so listen intently. This is the third thing he did. He went and he talked to the dead man. He talked to the dead man. And again, I can think of these people thinking, he's telling us not to cry, telling the lady not to cry. He put his hand on the coffin and now he's talking to the dead body. What is going on here? You know, the Bible records where Jesus talked to another dead man. Remember the story of Lazarus? What did Jesus say to Lazarus? He went and he talked to a dead man. What did he say? Remember? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And that's just what he did. Bound in his grave clothes. Now, what happened? Jesus did these three amazing things, or three unusual things. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise, get up. And that's just what happened. I've got to have a little sip of water, I'm sorry. Jesus went up to the young man. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And we read the story. We know what happened. This man that was dead, as they say, as dead as a dodo, sat up in the coffin. Now, I don't know about you. That would have scared the daylights out of me. That would have scared the daylights. Occasionally, you hear stories about, sometimes they hear those stories about people that were buried and were knocking on the inside of the coffin. So someone, they buried some poor fellow was buried, you know, and he actually wasn't dead. But this fellow actually was dead. And he sat up. That would have scared the daylights out of everyone. In fact, the Bible said it does. It said, there came a fear on all. There came a fear on all. Wow! This dead man just sat up. We would say the words incredible, astonishing, amazing, incredulous, fantastic. Put whatever adjective in there you want. Phenomenal. Or what's the common word now? Wow. Wow. This dead man just sat up. And then he started talking. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Said, here you go. Here you go, Mum. Here's your son. Off you go. Jesus just wrecked the funeral. He wrecked the funeral. There's a famous story of a preacher named Moody. Dwight Moody. And said he was preparing one day for a funeral, preparing a sermon for a funeral. So he was looking through the New Testament to try and get a bit of inspiration for his sermon outline. And he thought, I'll try and see what Jesus did at funerals. And he said, Jesus wrecked every funeral he went to. He kept raising people from the dead. So that wasn't much use. But Jesus gave this fella life. Fear came upon all. They glorified God. And then the obvious realization that we read was this: God hath visited his people. This man must be God, because only God could do that. And there's a lot of things we could say from this story. I've forgotten my pictures here, I think. Yeah, there's a few men. There's a fella there. They're all amazed. But you know, this is the point. You know what Jesus gives? He gives a thing called life. And only Jesus can give life. Only Jesus can give life. And so the application is this, and here's the verse up here. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, and not just life, but I'm come that you might have abundant life. You know what the facts are? These are the facts. And it says it in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, if you are not a Christian, if you don't have Christ living in you, you are dead in your sins. You are dead in your sins. And that's why when people think, well, I'm going to try and reform my life. I'm going to try and fix my sins up. I'm going to try and turn over a new leaf. I'm going to have some good moral intentions. I'm going to try and keep the law of God. I'm going to do all these things. You know why those things never work? Because you're dead. You are spiritually dead. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Because the Bible says also, Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is what? Young people, what's the verse? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, or the payment for our sins, is death. So outside of Christ, we have this. We don't have to wait to be sentenced. We are already condemned, the Bible says, because of our sins, and we are all sinners. And we are all dead in our sins, spiritually speaking. And we need life. Let me finish with this verse. This is the Apostle Paul speaking in Philippians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony. He said, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. In other words, I am alive physically, not so much physically, obviously he was alive physically, but I'm alive spiritually by Christ. And he also said, and to die is gain. You see, Christians, if you have Christ as your Saviour, if you've received Christ as your Saviour, you have this thing called eternal life. You don't have to wait to get it, you have it now. Now, this physical life will one day be gone. The body wears out very, very quickly, and life is gone. But we have this wonderful thing called eternal life. Eternal life. In fact, the boys and girls could quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. Yeah. You know, life, someone says, man, this is living. You know, someone's up on the beach or on a cruise somewhere. Man, this is living. Real life is found in Christ. Real purpose is found in Christ. Real contentment in life is found in Christ. And eternal life is only found in Christ. Jesus was not, he was always wrecking funerals. He was always bringing people back from the dead. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, you believe in me, and you will have eternal life. I wonder if there's someone here this morning, and you would say in your heart of hearts, I need that life. I would like that life. I would like that abundant life that Jesus promises. Hey, he will give it to you by a thing called faith. Faith is believing. We sang that little song before. Faith is just believing that what God said he would do, he will do. We have his promises here. He will give you life. You can come as a sinner to Jesus. Believe the gospel. The gospel is the set of facts that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again. He paid the punishment for my sin and for your sin on the cross. He was buried, he did die, but he's alive today. And if you come as a sinner, acknowledge your sin, believe that Jesus took your place on the cross, and then call on him, he will save you and give you eternal life. I'm not asking come and join the church or be religious or any of those things. You come as a guilty sinner. Jesus says, you come as you are, and I will give you life. Do you have life? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? You can know for sure. That's not being presumptuous. That's taking God at his word. Let's have every head bowed and eye closed, please. I'm going to finish with a little prayer, and then I'll hand back to Mr. Andrew to come and close off however you do the meeting this morning. But maybe there's someone here, maybe it's one of the boys and girls that has been coming to One Way for many years. Maybe it's one of the mums and dads or the visitors. Maybe there's someone here and you do not know that you have eternal life. You can have that eternal life now. You can enter into that wonderful relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It comes by a thing called faith. Hey, you might like to pray a little prayer, just you and the Lord right now, and say something like this. And really mean it. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a guilty sinner. But I believe that you died for me on the cross and that you are alive today. Right now I ask you to come into my life, be my Saviour, forgive my sins and give me eternal life as you promised in your word. This day I believe and I thank you for saving me. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of your word and for the life of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. We praise him and honour him this day. And Lord, I pray earnestly if there's someone here that does not know Christ as Saviour, that they will come to know him even before they leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.